This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, Juliet Jacobs, and I'm joined by Shamila Ganesan and Sumitra Selvaraj. In our first story today, one would imagine that the thought of humankind going extinct would be troubling to, well, humankind. But a team of researchers from the University of Oxford have found that people don't seem to find the loss of humanity uniquely tragic. So we're going to explore why. So when it comes to visions of the future for humans and other species alike, it all does seem to be a bit, you know, doomy and gloomy. And researchers from the University of Oxford, they recently surmised that the probability of our entire species going extinct in any given year could be as high as 1 in 14,000, although it's probably closer to 1 in 87,000. And this is only if you take into account naturally occurring phenomena, so things like supervolcanic eruptions, asteroid impacts, and the like. So we're not even talking about climate change and things like that.
In another unrelated report co-written by a former executive in the fossil fuel industry, it was predicted that by 2050, climate change could become a, quote, existential threat to human civilization, unquote, that can never be undone. And that they qualified that statement by adding that this would happen if we didn't take immediate and drastic action, kind of like what happened back during World War II. So now another team from Oxford University also published its own paper on human extinction in the Journal Scientific Reports, and it concluded that people don't seem to see the loss of humanity as uniquely tragic.
So the second group of researchers asked more than 2,500 people in the United States and the UK to rank three possible scenarios from best to worst. So here are the three scenarios, right? First, there's no catastrophe at all. Second, there's a catastrophe that immediately kills 80% of the world's population. And the third scenario, there's a catastrophe that immediately kills 100% of the world's population. So quite unsurprisingly, almost everyone who participated in the research thought that the second, where 80% of the world's population is killed off, is worse than there being no catastrophe at all, obviously. Everyone thinks that the third, which is 100% of the world's population dying off, is worse than 80%. That is, most people ranked no catastrophe as the best possibility and complete human extinction as the worst possibility. So not so surprising there.
Not so surprising. But then the researchers also asked a trickier follow-up question. So are we mostly bothered by the maths deaths involved in both scenario 2 and 3? So again, 2 is there is a catastrophe that immediately kills 80% of the world's population. And number 3, there is a catastrophe that immediately kills 100% of the world's population. And considering that number 3 is worse than 2 only because it involves more people dying, or is it something uniquely and notably terrible about the end of human civilization itself? Sorry, it's a bit tricky that in other words, they see that most of the tragedy as the present day deaths. So they don't actually see the end of the human race as a larger additional tragedy.
So to many people, these questions may seem too hopelessly abstract for us to learn anything from them, but not here on the Daily Digest.
Never.
So according to an article in Vox, there's something pretty important in all these questions that were asked and the answers that came out of them, right? The fact is, we give the possibility of human extinction very little thought. And when we do, our reasoning is often superficial, contradictory, and easy to influence all lovely human traits that we have come to know and love.
Yeah, and in many ways, we're actually shockingly blasé about the end of our world. Despite many people rating extinction as being somewhat likely in the next 15 years, few people rate the causes of extinction as among their top policy priorities for the next president or for Congress. You know, people say extinction is kind of bad, and under some circumstances, they even say it's likely. But they don't take it that seriously. And their intuitions about it are often inconsistent. But one particular result that cuts against this finding stands out in this paper. So when asked to imagine a long, peaceful, good human future, most readers suddenly rated extinction as much worse than they previously considered.
Yeah, so what that sort of suggests is that lots of people don't care as much as they should about extinction due to a sort of hopelessness. So they don't actually envision anything much better than present, than what's happening now for humanity. So they don't actually care too much about losing it. And so the takeaway seems a bit clear from that, that in order to convince people to fight for our species, we might first need to convince them that the fight could actually be winnable.
Yeah.
So back to Sherbert and colleagues' study, right? It involved asking survey recipients one of five very different questions. Each question is meant to highlight a particular detail that might be relevant to how we think about extinction. Then by comparing them, we can see how much each detail influences our answers. The first question is the one put forward earlier in the show. In the second survey question, they asked about animals instead. And here they got mixed answers. Many people believe that the death of all zebras was a much bigger loss than the death of 80% of zebras.
Mm. You know, often as we can see when people, this outpouring of grief when we hear news about the last of a particular species dying.
Our last rhino.
And perhaps that's because we're accustomed to thinking about the extinction of animal species in quite a different way than we think about the extinction of humans. We think about the extinction of zebras less in terms of the tragedy of the death of each individual zebra and more about the tragedy of a world where there are no zebras ever again.
And then in their third question, they tried to get survey respondents to think more about the consequences of humans going extinct forever instead of about the tragedy of the deaths of existing humans. So they did this by asking about a catastrophe that renders most humans sterile compared to a catastrophe that rendered all humans sterile. Mm-hmm. So now no one dies, right? And so the implications for the future of humanity should loom larger in the minds of the survey respondents. And in fact, it did. Respondents answered this question very similarly to the way they answered the question about the zebras.
After that, the researchers decided to get to the point and outright tell respondents to consider the fact that we'd be forfeiting the possibility of a good long-term future. This got more respondents to rate that the extinction scenario is uniquely bad, but it was only about as effective as telling them to imagine zebras. So finally, to get the overwhelming majority of respondents to agree that extinction was uniquely bad, you had to be even more direct and tell them to imagine that human civilization will go on for a long, happy, prosperous future, but you're not part of it. Suddenly, almost everybody agrees that human extinction was uniquely bad.
Hmm. So I guess there's one interpretation that makes a lot of sense of these very varied responses that most people don't expect or they don't envision a good future, and therefore, the future doesn't actually weigh heavily on their minds as they think about human extinction. Mm-hmm. So it's not that the survey respondents are unreasonably ignoring the possibility of a good long-term future for humanity. They just consider it unlikely, so it's not much of a consideration. So collectively, these results suggest that people care a lot more about extinction when they can concretely envision a good human future. So, but how many visions of that does our society actually lay out? There's not a lot of discussion of what a wonderful 2100 looks like, for example, right?
No.
In fact, the many threats that we face make lots of people unwilling to imagine 2100 at all.
Mm, I mean, all of the dystopian movies and books that come out, right? And these results suggest that inability to imagine the future might interfere with ensuring that we even make it that far. Right? Climate change activists in particular spend a lot of time discussing the advantages and disadvantages of negative and even apocalyptic rhetoric, and the advantages and disadvantages of taking a more optimistic tone when we talk about the future. And research like this inclines one to believe that the optimists might have a good point. It's not that we should exaggerate the odds of solving our problems or that we should pretend that these problems are not there, but any discussion of our problems needs to be accompanied by at least a positive vision of what the world can look like if we want to stand a chance of solving them.
Yeah. Mm.
So if people don't believe that there's a meaningful and good future on the other side of the challenges ahead of us, and it looks like they're going to have a really hard time rating our extinction as a uniquely bad thing. Mm. And that kind of means that pessimism is and can be a self-fulfilling prophecy as we let our fears interfere with our motivation to prove them false.
Mm. Yes, and so this self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, this is something that Yelme Momas, he's an investigative journalist who has specialized in the field of climate change. So he spoke about this in a TEDx talk where he equated, you know, where he said that, you know, equating global warming, he used that example, with the apocalypse, that's a really wrong thing to do. And he also said, you know, was speaking about why the media, so people like him and us, you know, why we need to get that story right to end this hopelessness that people are feeling. Here's a short clip of that.
Now, of course, when it comes to climate change, politicians and activists will tell you that we have a little bit of time left to act. We must act swiftly and decisively. And if we don't, well, then we'll run ourselves off a cliff. And so this is how many people respond to the story of climate change. Because the thing about the apocalypse is that you can't stop it. This story, the story I just showed you, is so scary, it's paralyzing. And psychology tells us that when people are scared, they find a way to ignore the issue. It also tells us that scared people are less creative and less prone to action. So we imagine our own destruction all the time, but it's not getting us anywhere. And the truth is, there is no cliff. Millions of people are already suffering the consequences of climate change, and their suffering won't just magically disappear at some point, along with the rest of life on Earth. So not only is the story of climate change as the apocalypse counterproductive, but it's also wrong. And we need a better story. One that doesn't make us feel hopeless and powerless and doomed. And personally, I believe that the media, journalists like me, have a huge responsibility in getting the story right. Because the way we talk about this issue determines our engagement. It determines our future. So let's get the story right. I think it should be accurate, it should be human, and it should be hopeful. The fact is, this is not a sad story, it's a human story. It's full of contradictions. It hurts and it's wonderful. It has progress and setbacks, dread and joy. Climate change is not the end of the world. It's a wake-up call to attain peace and justice.
So how do you guys feel about it? You know, is all that negativity making you feel less hopeful for the future as well?
I would say yes, sometimes. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily put it down just to climate change activism, though. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the rhetoric that we've heard, I don't know, maybe it's living in a post-war world, two wars. Mm-hmm. And all of the pop culture and literature that we talk about is so entrenched with stories of tragedy and hopelessness that, yeah, sometimes it just feels like maybe we're just on this train that's going to crash. So what's the point of trying to pull the lever, right?
What's the point of doing anything in that sense?
I don't think that much about the future. I think it's part of my personality. I'm a very much a live-in-the-moment kind of person. And then that has its ups and downs. But what would I be upset if I knew that an asteroid was heading for Earth tomorrow? Nope.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting.
Nope.
And, you know, we did want to ask a few other people what they found more troubling, you know, going back to the research earlier that we were talking about. So a world without humans or a world without animals. And we also actually asked them if they were hopeful for the survival of humankind in the future. And here are some of those responses.
Oh, for sure. It would be more troubling for me to have a world without animals because humans are animals too. And therefore, if we have no more animals, that means no more humans. There's no doubt in my mind that we're doomed to extinction, humankind. We're just shooting ourselves in the foot. You know, we're killing the environment. We are littering. We have plastic in the oceans. We have done all kinds of things that will harm the world, the earth, and we're doomed to extinction. Maybe not in my lifetime, but certainly not much further beyond that. It's not that I want it to be that way. I don't want to be extinct, but I don't think we're doing very much to prevent that right now, sadly. So everybody's got to pitch in and do what they can to save the environment, and that will be part and parcel of preventing the extinction of humans.
I think that humans will survive, but they most likely will be genetically modified, as well as they may not be living on this planet. We may need to leave the planet in order for the human race to survive. But I also think that with genetic engineering, humans will be modified in the future.
Okay, so logically speaking, if the world doesn't have humans in it, that means I don't exist, and if I don't exist, I'm not there to care. So the world without animals troubles me more, because then we would be aware that there aren't any animals. And that sucks, because animals are cute and nice and good. I'm pretty sure we're going to do ourselves in within my lifetime. Mainly because we don't pay attention to things like climate change. And sort of, I think there's this very, like, dog-eat-dog sort of mentality that's arisen, especially nowadays. So I can't help but be a little bit nihilist in that sense. I don't really mind if humans go extinct, mainly because that's basically just death sped up and on a very big scale, and that is a natural part of life anyway.
First of all, I think a world without humans or a world without animals, I think these are equally disturbing prospects, because humans rely on animals for so much. And not just domesticated animals, but also the kind of wider global ecosystems. These are very interlinked, and I think removing one part would be very, very dangerous for us as a species. I think, generally, I'm optimistic to a degree about humans' capacity for survival and for change in the coming decades and centuries. I think as a species, we're very creative, we're good problem solvers. I think we can find a way to make it out of this climate crisis. But at the same time, I think we are also hampered by other, perhaps, it's difficult to generalize, but other perhaps traits of our species, like greed or a quest for profit, that I think, and short-sightedness perhaps, that I think make it difficult for these changes to be implemented, things that we're seeing now and have seen over the past few years. So yes, I would say I'm optimistic to a degree.
Well, we have been asking you, I suppose, a similar question on social media as well. We were asking which would be more troubling to you, a world without humans or a world without animals? And overwhelmingly, actually, 74% of you say that a world without animals would be more troubling, while only 26% of you say that a world without humans would be troubling. And we have constantly dazed who said that's kind of a loaded question, one that Klaatu might ask. Klaatu, I think, refers to the character from The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah.
We also had a WhatsApp that came in that said, the world will do just fine without humans. All philosophies are so human-centric that we never stop to ask, does the world need humans? No. Do humans need everything else in the world? Yes. Mm. I'm sorry that it's, you know, so nihilistic, everyone. But you can continue to take that poll at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us if you have any thoughts, if you have some hopeful visions of our humanity's future. You can let us know at 03-7733-2900.
I don't know. For me, it's like hell is other people. So I don't know about you guys. You know, would you prefer a world without humans or, you know, without other species of animals?
So my theory is that people just generally don't like other people very much.
That's
what's driving some of this, right? Like, I mean, I've yet to meet a zebra or a penguin that I dislike as much as many people I've met. So I would happily share my world with them.
Considering yesterday on the Daily Digest, we spoke about why millennials are choosing to stay in and ignore the company
That's
of other
true.
People, mm-hmm. I think this is a fitting follow-up to that sort of story. I'm in favor of returning the world to bacterium. Mm-hmm. I think we need to hit the reset button. I think everybody needs to go, humans, animals, the whole nine yards. And we need to return the earth to bacteria and see what they come up with in the second go. Actually, you don't even know whether it's the second go. This might be happening every couple of eons or so. Mm-hmm. And, you know, goodness, you've given me a lot to think about over the weekend.
And, you know, we please do keep, you know, sending in your thoughts about that. You can always tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900. We're going to take a quick break, but here's REM with It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.